That one of the things, and now you've heard my testimony before, that when I was looking for a church to go to, there was two things I was looking for. Number one, they had to be a mission-minded church, and number two, had to be a Bible-teaching church.
Hello and welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of The Gift of Teaching. So please open your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 7b, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Gift of Teaching.
And at this time, we come to receive the blessing of the Word of God. And we ask that you would open in your Bibles today to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, as we have begun a series on spiritual gifts. And as we continue our series on spiritual gifts, by way of review, I just wanted to highlight a couple things so that we will keep them fresh in our minds. The first thing that I want to do is do an overview of the spiritual gifts, and we see that in Romans chapter 12, and these are the main gifts that we are focusing on here, in Romans chapter 12, we see that there are two divisions of the spiritual gifts, and that is the verbal and the nonverbal gifts. The verbal gifts would be prophecy, teaching, and exhortation. The nonverbal gifts would be serving, giving, ruling, mercy, and pastor, teacher. Now, as we break down some other gifts, we said that there were also what we called perceiving or preparing gifts, and these would be wisdom, knowledge, faith, and discernment. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, and discernment. Now, we're not focusing on these gifts. We are focusing on the ones right here in Romans chapter 12. And then we talked about the power gifts. We said that there are power gifts. They would be healings, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and apostles. And those are some gifts mentioned in other books of the New Testament. We said that there are three main passages that talk about spiritual gifts, and they are Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. Also, by way of review, we said that believers receive spiritual gifts at the moment of salvation. That the moment you get saved, you receive a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are given by God at His discretion. So when you got saved, God gave you a gift. Every Christian has one or more spiritual gift. So if you are sitting here today and you are a child of God, you have at least one spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are not used to sing in the nightclub, perform in the stadium, or do-to-do out in the street. But spiritual gifts are given to serve God in the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts, we pointed this out, are not the same as natural talents. That God can use your talent in His kingdom, but that's not the same as a spiritual gift. And that's why we're taking this opportunity to teach on spiritual gifts. We said that spiritual gifts should not lay dormant, but you should be using your gift. Because to use it, to not use it, means that you are not sharp at what God has gifted you to do. Spiritual gifts indicate your call and your purpose for serving God. And then we pointed out in 1 Corinthians 13 that unless you have love, spiritual gifts are worthless. Unless you are serving and using your gift to serve out of love, Paul said it's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And then we concluded with the fact that spiritual gifts will be judged, or God will hold us accountable on the day of judgment for how we used our spiritual gift. That if we have been given a gift by God, that one day we are going to stand before Him and we are going to give an account as to how we used our spiritual gift. So far, we have looked at the gift of prophecy and we've looked at the gift of serving. And this morning, we're going to look at the gift of teaching. In Romans chapter 12, verse 7, it says that whether you have been gifted for ministry, let yourself wait on your ministering, or if you have been gifted with teaching, that you might teach. This morning we're going to look at the gift of teaching. We need people with the gift of teaching in the body of Christ. And I'd like to read something to you to let you know why we need the gift of teaching in the body of Christ. There was a deacon who was trying to teach a lesson, and he was trying to cover the whole lesson, the whole Bible in one lesson. And so this is what he said. He said, in the first book of Genesis, God got tired of creating the world, so he took the Sabbath off, and he created Adam and Eve from an apple tree. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc because Noah built the ark when the animals came to eat the pears. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. Samson was a strong man who let himself be led astray by a Jezebel like Delilah. Samson slew the Philistines with the acts of the apostles. Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. The first commandment was when he told Eve and Adam to eat the apple. The seventh commandment that he received is, "Thou shalt commit adultery." Moses died before he ever reached Canada. Then Joshua led the Hebrews into the battle of Jericho. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and he obeyed him. David was a Hebrew king skilled at playing the lyre. He fought with the Philistines, a race of people who lived in biblical times. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. When Mary heard that she was the mother of Jesus, she sang the Magna Carta. Then the three wise guys from the east arrived and found Jesus in the manger. Jesus was born by Mary by immaculate contraception. Saint John the blacksmith dumped water onto his head. Jesus enunciated the golden rule, which says to one, do unto the one before they do unto you. He also explained that man does not live by sweat alone. It was a miracle when Jesus rose from the dead and managed to get the tombstone off the entrance. The people who followed Jesus were the 12 disciples. The epistles were the wives of the apostles. And one of the apostles, St. Matthew, was a taxi man. A Christian should only have one spouse, and this is called monogamy. So this is why we need teachers in the body of Christ. This is why God has gifted us with people in the body who are able to teach. Because these individuals take time to study the Word of God so that they might break it down to us so that we can understand. If you look at your notes this morning, we want to talk about, the gift of teaching. What is the meaning of this gift? This is the divine ability to study, understand, and communicate the Word of God to others in such a way that they can grasp it. This is what a teacher does. A teacher studies the Word, breaks it down so that other people can understand it and put their arms around it. We have a perfect example in Scripture of a couple who had the gift of teaching. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 18, we read about a couple who had this gift of teaching. And I just want to go through and give you a quick rundown of their life. And as we think about this couple, we see that their names were Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife team. Now, it's not clear when they converted to Christianity, but they were Christians. And according to Acts chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, they left Rome because of persecution. They started out in Rome. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. So these individuals, this couple, started out in Rome, where maybe they became Christians there, and then there broke out a riot. And according to one historian, he said what happened is that the Christian Jews and the non-Christian Jews began fighting among themselves. And so at that time, the emperor then cast out all the Jews from Rome. And so Aquila and Priscilla left Rome, and they came to Corinth, and this is where they met Paul. Now, the other thing interesting about Aquila and Priscilla is, like Paul, they were tent makers. Look at verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, and he abode with them, and they worked, for their occupation was tent makers. So these individuals made tents, and Paul made tents. And even though Paul preached the gospel, this was the way that he took care of himself, by making tents. Now, these individuals sat under Paul's teaching. Now, notice in verse 3 that Paul lived with them. Paul came into their home, and he lived with them. And he stayed in the city of Corinth for 18 months. Look at verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching them the word of God. And then we continue to read, and we see where Paul leaves Corinth, and he goes to Ephesus. Look at verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and took his leave of the brethren, and sailed from there into Syria. And with him, look who was with him. All right, look who was with him. Priscilla and Aquila. Paul having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So Paul left Corinth, and when he left, who went with him? Aquila and Priscilla. And now, here Aquila and Priscilla, they're listening to different people come and speak. And there's a young man that comes, and he begins to preach. And his name is Apollos. Apollos. And Apollos was a bad boy. Apollos was a, if we would put it in the terms of the 70s, Apollos was a bad dude. Look at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Oh, he was a bad dude. He was a mighty man in the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the Jewish law. He knew the Torah. He knew the writings. He knew the prophets. He was versed. And not only that, not only did Apollos know the Old Testament, but the Bible says that he was an eloquent man. He could dazzle you with his speech. He could mesmerize you with his words. That the way he presented the word of God and the way that he spoke was so fantastic that people just stopped and looked at Apollos whenever he preached. But Apollos had a problem. And Apollos' problem was this, is that Apollos only knew the Old Testament. And as gifted as he was to speak, and as powerful a speaker he was, he didn't know anything about Jesus. And so he was preaching, and look what Aquila and Priscilla does. In verse 25, it says, and the man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Amen. Thank God for Aquilas and Priscillas. Thank God for those who, when we are confused and we don't understand what it is that doctrine is saying, and we don't understand what it is when what the Word of God is saying, that there are people. You know, I say this now, that one of the things, and you've heard my testimony before, that when I was looking for a church to go to, there was two things I was looking for. Number one, they had to be a mission-minded church. And number two, had to be a Bible-teaching church. You know, I didn't want to be a place where, you know, every week I had to stand up and get ready to perform a show and entertain folks and make folks stand up and shout. You know, that, I didn't want that. I wanted a place where I could be able to come and where people had a hunger and a desire for the Word of God, and we could just get into the Word of God and be taught and learn the Word of God and grow. And I thank God that this was a church that God had as a fit for me to be able to come and share the gift of teaching that I have. And so that's what happened in the life of Apollo. Here Apollo was this mighty man, this great man, but he was not educated in the Christian faith. And so Aquila and Priscilla pull him aside and begin to show him what it meant to be a Christian and began to teach him. And as we conclude the life of Aquila and Priscilla, we see that Paul, when he was in Ephesus, that he wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, and right there with him, once again, was Aquila and Priscilla, because he sent greetings from Aquila and Priscilla. When Paul wrote his letter to Timothy, his swan song, when he was about ready to, according to tradition, Paul was beheaded in a Roman prison, and when Paul was about ready to go to his death, he sends a letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, and at the end of his letter, you know who he greets? That's right there with Timothy, Aquila and Priscilla. In Romans chapter 16, we see that Aquila and Priscilla moved back to Rome. And not only did they move back to Rome, you know what they did when they moved back to Rome? They started a church in their home. Started a church in their home. Powerful, powerful couple. Would to God that he would give us some couples that would get a heart for God and minister together as heirs of the grace of life. And then the very unique thing, and this is the last thing I want to say about Aquila and Priscilla before we get into the message today, is in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And I don't know exactly what it was that they did, but look at this. Romans chapter 16. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and in verse 3, Paul says, "Greet Aquila and Priscilla, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Look at verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. These individuals laid down their life for Paul. They were so committed to the gospel. They were so committed to Christian teaching that they were willing to risk their neck, whatever that meant. Maybe just opening up their house for people to come in and worship and study. Maybe that's what it meant when Paul said, "You have laid down your neck for me." Maybe they stood up to represent the gospel in a place that was hostile because they were so committed to teaching about Christ. But they were so committed as teachers of the gospel. Not only did they open up their home for people to come in and worship, but they came to the point where they were going to lay down their life because they believed in what they were teaching. What a powerful, powerful couple. As we look at our notes this morning, we see people with the gift of teaching. And we're coming directly from the life of Aquila and Priscilla. I've given you the story. Let's go back and look at some points now. And the first point that I want to say is that people with this gift put themselves in a position where they are constantly being taught. And you know what? This should be true of every Christian. And I'm going to say a little bit more about this as we move through the message. That if you have the gift of teaching, and if you are a teacher, then you ought to be in somebody's school somewhere. You ought to be in the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. You ought to be in a Bible study. So you ought to constantly be putting yourself under the Word of God. Aquila and Priscilla, look what they did. 18 months they studied under Paul. And then the teaching got so good that when Paul left, they went with him because they had a desire and they had a hunger and they had a thirst to obtain more and more knowledge. The second thing we see is that people that have this gift prepare themselves through intense and exploratory study of the scripture. In Acts chapter 17, if you look there. And I may be taking some liberties with the text, but I think that this is a good analogy. The scripture says in Acts chapter 17, speaking of the Bereans, and I believe that Aquila and Priscilla had a Berean spirit. Look what it says here in Acts chapter 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. Speaking of these Bereans, These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They searched the scripture. They just didn't accept what Paul said, but they got into the word and they began to study it for themselves. And you know what? When Apollos gets up and Apollos starts preaching, oh, somebody help me this morning. How did they know that Apollos was saying something that was not right? Because they had studied the word of God. Because they had been in the word. And I see God's people today sitting under all kind of teaching and thinking that it's from God. And a lot of teaching is either from the flesh. It's because a man is trying to get his own way with a group of people. You know, there's a disorder, I guess, for lack of a better word, that's out there today. And it's called spiritual abuse. And we got all kinds of disorders. Here goes another one for us to worry about. Spiritual abuse. And spiritual abuse is when the pastor or the man of God or the leaders in the church begin to beat people up with the word and try to get them to do things that God doesn't necessarily want them to do. And then, you know, there's a lot of churches like that today where pastors are just beating folk up and telling them that if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you know, God is going to judge you. God is going to condemn you. And just beat people up, and they make people feel like, you know, that they're these individuals that if they don't do what the pastor says, then judgment is going to come down on them. And they hold this over them. So there's this spiritual abuse today. That's why I tell people, get in the word of God. You know, and if Pastor Glaze says something that don't line up, then you scratch your head and give me a call and say, Pastor, I didn't see that now. Where'd you get that from? And we can sit down and we can reason. That's what these Bereans did. They sat down and they listened to hear what Paul had to say. And then they went through the scripture to see whether or not he was saying was true. And you know, as I think about this, and even as we go through the outline today, look at the fifth bullet point in people with this gift. The fifth bullet point. You see, these individuals are disturbed when the truth is not being taught or verses are taken out of context. Apollos, look at this brother. The Bible says that he was a mighty man in the scripture, in the Old Testament, that he was eloquent. Just think about the most eloquent speaker that you've ever heard. Just take me out of your mind and, you know, fix. I'll tell you, I'm just a fire and brimstone preacher. So, you know, but I'm just saying there's some preachers that could dazzle you. I mean, there's some preachers that could fix this thing up and have all these flowery words and these big words. Somebody said, Pastor Glaze, when you preach your sermon, we want you to use some big words. And when I was introduced, I came up and I said, I've been asked to use some big words, and I just want to say that I'm well, glad, and elephant proud to be here. So, and somebody said, you look like it. No, just kidding. But as we think about, you know, the fact that, you know, here was Apollos, this gifted individual, eloquent, able to speak. And can you imagine Aquila and Priscilla sitting there listening to him? You know, mama, he got some good stuff. Yeah, dad, he knows that Old Testament. Yeah, but honey, you know, he don't have this thing on Jesus Christ right. Do you think the brother would listen to us if we pulled him aside and began to share with him and tell him the rest of the message? You know, I think of all the songs that we heard this morning from the deaf ministry. Just think of all the songs that we heard. What did they do? They told the rest of the story. They were like Paul Harvey, and this is the rest of the story. And so that's what Aquila and Priscilla did. They took Apollos in, and they told him the rest of the story. And they began to teach him. And not only did they begin to teach him, but they brought him into their home and taught him. And they were constantly opening up their home to teach people the word of God.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Gift of Teaching. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Teaching, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Teaching, or program number 080316. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Teaching, or program number 080316. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.